is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for March 9th, 2018. Welcome to the show. Got another great show planned for you today. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show today, let's look at what's going on in some local news. Some sad news out of Weimar. Martin's Corner has become the scene of another fatality accident. This was a single car accident involving a Jeep that went off the roadway over an embankment and collided with a tree before landing on its top, and the driver was killed. I won't be mentioning his name on the air out of respect to the family. There are other media sites where if you want that information, you can certainly go and get that. But I had a couple of friends involved in an accident in Martin's Corner a while back. Oh, this has been at least a year ago, probably longer. And both of them died as a result of the accident. Neither one was killed on the scene. The wife died from her injuries, and actually the husband suffered a heart attack at the hospital, and so they both were deceased because of an accident at Martin's Corner. And so it kind of brings up, you know, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth when I read another one of these stories, and I wonder what it is we can do potentially to improve the safety in that area. Of course, when it's wet and icy, you know, maybe snow on the road, that corner can be particularly treacherous. But due to the long straight stretch that leads into that corner, a lot of people go into that corner with too much speed and lose control. And probably a lot of people go into that corner too fast and nothing happens. They make it through. But if there's another driver on the road, they may have to correct, you know, swerve. Any one of number of things can happen. And so I'm just wondering. I've seen a lot of people with some interesting ideas. Some of them I think are pretty good. You know, maybe there ought to be, you know, some flashing lights entering both sides of that corner. Maybe they should reduce the speed limit in a graduated way as they do going into towns. You know, you travel on some of the local highways. When you're getting near a town, they'll gradually drop the speed limit from 55 down to 45 and then 35 and then sometimes down to 25. And I wonder if that's something that can be done. That doesn't mean people are going to obey the speed limit, but at least it makes them aware, you know, maybe some additional signage. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the driver, the individual driver, to make the right decisions. I drive through that corner at least once a week, with about 16,000 pounds, and I drive carefully. I know the corner's coming, and I slow for the corner, and I'm watching not just my driving, but I'm watching the other drivers, because too often I go into that corner, and somebody drifts across the line, and it may not be a lot, but if you collide with my 16,000 pounds or somebody else's 50,000 pounds, it's not going to end well. So maybe that's another comment about this, is that I see too many people that are inattentive drivers. They'll routinely cross over a line in a corner, and maybe they think they didn't see anyone else on the road, so it's okay. But if I saw you, it's not okay. You're close enough to me, if I can see you doing it, that it's not okay. Why can't we just keep the cars between the lines? Is it that hard of a concept? I see it all the time. I drive, you know, I have a route that I have to drive each day of the week, is a different route. So I'm going from stop to stop to stop, which means I'm on the road a fair amount of my day. And I see it time and time again. People that they're just inattentive. They're looking down at their phone. I've seen somebody reading a newspaper while driving a car. I saw a lady FaceTiming in Grants Pass while driving a car. This is a 3,000-5,000 pound vehicle, chunk of iron and glass and aluminum. It's a deadly weapon. It kills more people than guns do. And we have people that don't take it seriously. Now, this particular accident, we don't know the cause yet. Maybe there was a medical incident. Maybe he had been drinking. I haven't seen the latest, and I don't care because that's not my point here. But it's very possible that his inattentive driving is what cost him his life. Again, we don't know this yet in this case, but people, we've got to take it seriously. There's too many sirens that I hear heading out to Weimar or heading over across town here or passing me on the freeway or going the other direction, you know, on the parkway in Grants Pass. Driving is a serious business. Your car can be a weapon, and all it takes is just to be more attentive. Put the phone away. Put the problems away. If you're that agitated, don't get into a car. If you haven't put your makeup on yet, don't do it in the car. It's the life you're going to save may be your own. So it just bothers me that I keep reading these stories, and my thoughts and prayers go out to the family. I know this is a tough time, and again, I'm not going to be mentioning the name, but you know, people, we've got to be respectful of one another. And one of those things is when you're driving a car, that's your full-time job. So let's move on to some other things. A 20-year-old Gold Hill man has filed a lawsuit against Dick's Sporting Goods as well as Walmart. Both of those stores, among many other stores, have recently adopted a new policy that is stricter than the federal policy to purchase rifles. They will not sell a rifle to anyone under the age of 21. The federal law says 18. And at most independent gun stores and places that sell guns and ammunition will still sell rifles to people that are 18 and over. But many of these big box stores have decided that they will only sell to 21 and over. Well, this man in Gold Hill, Tyler Watson, tried to purchase a rifle. He's 20 years old, and he tried to purchase a rifle in the Dick's Sporting Goods in Medford. Then again, I believe the next day he went to the Walmart in Grants Pass and was also denied the sale. And I was going to cover this more than just in the news portion of the program. I actually had hoped to possibly talk to either to Mr. Watson or to his lawyer. But as I dig into this, this really isn't a Second Amendment case. I mean, the issue of guns and gun sales, of course, will be a part of this case. But really, if he has any chance of winning this lawsuit or these lawsuits, it's going to be based on age discrimination. And I don't know that he has a very strong case. But honestly, after I dug into this and realized that really the main focus of this is age discrimination, I'm just not interested in doing a whole show on age discrimination. We discriminate based on age for a lot of things, you know, driving privileges, which are graduated. You know, you have certain privileges that you get at 16, and then you have to be 18 for some other privileges. You have to be 21 or 25 for some other ones. So, you know, we discriminate against age in that respect. Cigarettes, alcohol, all kinds of age discrimination. We discriminate the other direction. You know, that they keep telling me that because women outlive men, that a lot of these retirement homes are full of of lonely widows. And so when I get older, if I happen to be single, you know, I want them to let me in. But if I don't meet the age requirement, you know, they have a minimum age requirement, you know, they have communities that have this. So, you know, we have age restrictions all over the place, and I don't know if, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I don't know how this case is going to turn out, but it doesn't have as much interest to me as I had initially thought it might. So, but as the case goes on and when it's decided, you know, I may dig into this again if it seems like an interesting subject. But at this point, you know, age discrimination lawsuits don't really seem too exciting to devote a whole episode of Rogue Talk to. So moving over to Chieftain Sports, former Crater assistant baseball coach Shane Matsuk will replace Jay Chick as the varsity baseball coach at the Rogue River Junior Senior High School. After the basketball season got over, Coach Chick stepped down as the baseball coach. And he will remain as the head basketball coach going into next season. But because of the business that he's trying to build up, he talked about it here on Rogue Talk, and because of the other coaching duties that he already has, including being the varsity basketball coach, he decided to step down. Shane Matsuk comes from a Crater program that has produced 3 state championships. So hopefully that's a culture of winning baseball that coach Matsuk will bring here to Rogue River. So we'll get to see that. In fact, we were just working on finalizing our broadcast schedule for the baseball and softball seasons. And so I hope to be able to share those out to you pretty soon. At the end of the program, in fact, I will give you the schedule for the upcoming games. The seasons, the baseball and softball seasons get underway this next week. So we'll get to see right away the impact of the new coach on the program. And so this has been an interesting week at the business of last week's guest. Of course, that was Josh May, and he owns with his wife the Depot Street Grill, and they've had their grand opening this past week. They've had all different sorts of things going on, and it continues today. It continues tomorrow. And tomorrow, I think I can promote the tomorrow's event, because this is a freebie for the kids. Tomorrow they're doing free miniature ice cream cones for the first 500 kids that walk in the door. So get on down there and get your free ice cream for the kiddos. And not to be outdone by the community center, they've got some bingo games they're doing today. I'm sure that's a good time down there. You know, I was looking at the menu after I had Josh on the show, and man, there's some good looking burgers on there. They've got one with bacon and a couple of onion rings on there and some barbecue sauce. And that sounds like my kind of burger for sure. So, my mouth's watering just talking about it, but, Depot Street Grill has, after the interview last week, has decided to become an underwriter of Rogue Talk, and we want to welcome them to Rogue Talk, and we hope that we can help them out with some awareness of their restaurant. You know, they've recently reopened under the new ownership with Josh and his wife, and we look forward to being able to get some good food there. We talked about it last week, top-notch ingredients, and as Josh described it, a top-notch staff. So it's a great place to go, and I would encourage you to support all of our underwriters here at the Bridge, but specifically in this case, the Depot Street Grill underwriting Rogue Talk. So we'll take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington, Florida. Governor Rick Scott has signed a school safety bill passed by the legislature in response to the Valentine's Day mass shooting that killed 17 people at a high school. The bill signed Friday falls short of what Scott and the shooting's survivors wanted. It also marks Scott's break with the National Rifle Association. Jan Thornton of Vallejo is among hundreds of relatives worrying about the welfare of loved ones in a Northern California veterans home that was locked down after reports of an active shooter. Thornton says her 96-year-old father, a World War II fighter pilot, is inside a hospital wing at the home in Yountville, north of San Francisco. It was a good day on Wall Street as the Dow Jones Industrial Average up by 441 points to close at 25,336. The NASDAQ rose 133. The S&P advanced 48. Oil up $1.92 to $62.04 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with college basketball. It's that time of the year. We're getting down to Selection Sunday. At the ACC tournament Thursday, top-ranked Virginia breezed into the semifinals with a dominant performance against Louisville. Kyle Guy scored 19 points, and the Cavaliers improved to 29-2 by whipping the Cards 75-58. Guy says,
every time we come out onto the court, we just try to remember our pillar of humility. And, you know, I think we do a really good job of that, not getting too high or too low, and just staying positive and, you know, leaving it all on floor.
At the Big East tournament, Jay Wright became the winningest coach in Villanova history with 414 wins as the second-ranked Wildcats hammered Marquette 94-70 in the quarters. Third-ranked Xavier reached the semis in an 88-60 rout of St. John's. At the Big 12, number 9, Kansas chalked up an 82-68 win over Oklahoma State. Number 18, West Virginia advances too. This is SRN Sports. Three college basketball coaches fired yesterday. Pittsburgh's Kevin Stallings was dismissed. G.G. Smith has resigned as head coach of Maryland's Loyola University. Reggie Theus out at Cal State Northridge. In the NBA yesterday, it was the Nets over Charlotte, 125-111. Miami stopped the 76ers, 108-99. Thunder, 115. Phoenix, 87. It was the Celtics over Minnesota, 117-109. And Golden State beat San Antonio, 110-107. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Columbus 5, Colorado 4. In overtime, the Jets beat the Devils. Bruins 3, Flyers 2, Sabres over Ottawa 4-3 in a shootout. Florida blanked Montreal 5-0. The Knights did the same to the Red Wings 4-0. It was Tampa Bay 5, Rangers 3. Nashville over the Ducks 4-2, Carolina 3, Blackhawks 2. Edmonton got by the Islanders 2-1 in the shootout. This is SRN Sports.
So I think we're all aware that, you know, in the nation, I mean, it's a strategic issue that less than 30% of the young men and women of our nation are qualified just to join the military, either because of physical, mental, or moral issues. So now we're down to 30%, and now we have to find those that have a propensity or are interested in doing this. And as there is some growth in the force, we're all out there competing in the same, looking for the same type of young men or women.
So that was the Marine Corps Commandant, Robert Neller. And let me repeat what he said there, or at least say again in a different context what he said. 70% of America's youth are simply too fat, too immoral, or too mentally unstable for training in the military. That's a staggering number. And It shows us a more, I don't know, it's an aspect of what I wanted to talk about today, but it's a big aspect, and it really points it at what I feel like is part of the big problem here, and we're gonna talk about it. You know, we've had all this discussion over the last couple of weeks. You know, we had the Parkland shooting, and you have the student activists that are out there, and they're being promoted by places like CNN, and then, you know, so you've got all this gun control talk, and, you know, everything is said under the guise of, well, we want better school safety. But when we talk about actual school safety, they kind of bristle, and all they want to talk about is gun control. And I don't really want to talk about gun control today. What it leads me to is what we really need to be looking at least in the long term. I don't know how much of this applies on a short term basis, although obviously some of it does. But we have a societal problem that's much deeper and much more important and pervasive than a gun problem or even a mental health problem. Those are the two things we keep hearing in the media, mental health and guns and mental health and guns. And I don't think either one of those either by themselves or together even come close to addressing what really is the problems that lead to these kinds of violent acts in our society. And let's start with the media. I mentioned, CNN promoting these kids from the school, and I don't take anything away from those kids. They went through a horrific thing, but it doesn't make them experts in gun control or anything else for that matter. You know, you got people suggesting that, we need to lower the voting age to 16 because these kids are so smart. No, when you really listen to what they have to say, first of all, some of what they've had to say has been really hateful and directed toward people that are there to listen to them and to, try and find answers. But secondly, while your emotional response to a tragic incident it's important, your emotions are valid and they need to be, respected and listened to. That doesn't make you an expert on anything, to be quite honest. So you've got the media, pushing an agenda and using these kids. So I would say that the media itself is one of the societal issues that, really needs to be looked at. A lot of people don't trust the media. I mean, that's a big reason that Donald Trump is the president right now, is because he exploited the distrust in the media. So, that's a big factor in the breakdowns in society that we're seeing. I would say another form of media that also has a big part in this would be social media. Now, I love social media. I'm on Facebook all the time, probably too much. But what I see is social media and probably Twitter most specifically, but it's definitely on other social medias it's also Facebook is definitely in that category, where this hate-filled rhetoric, things that you might have thought in your head but you wouldn't necessarily share with other people. I mean, you might have an instance with somebody on the street and you might just kind of shake your head and keep walking. And maybe when you got home, you would tell your wife about it and she would pat you on the head and say, it'll be okay, honey, you'll be fine. But we wouldn't voice those things out loud because they're just not worth causing confrontation over. Your feelings, while they're important, they don't really, nobody else really is obligated to care about your feelings. So we would hold things in. Well, social media has created this kind of digital wall where people feel empowered to say things to people on social media that they would never say to them to their face. And actually, I think it's gotten even worse. I think we're getting so conditioned to some of the combative nature of conversations on social media and some of the hateful things that get said on social media, that now some of those things we will say face to face. And it's not a healthy place to be, never mind the people. I mentioned Twitter being probably the biggest culprit of this. And that's because it's so easy on Twitter to be not yourself, to be, a pseudonym or whatever you want to call it. You it puts this wall up that makes people feel like that they can just say whatever they want to say, no matter how hateful or hurtful or wrong or inaccurate or disgusting or whatever. You know, so that's where we're, you know, Twitter, I just don't use it. I signed up for Twitter thinking I might use that to promote the radio show, the sports broadcasts, a couple of podcasts that I'm hoping to do that I've been talking about. One of them I've been talking about for a long time. I still haven't done. But nonetheless, I thought that maybe I would use that for promotional purposes, but I don't think I will. I don't, at this point, I can't see myself using Twitter in that way. Just because of the hateful nature and the way that people can hide behind their egg, so to speak. So the media, the social media, two things that really contribute to, you know, some of the problems I think that we have in society. Another one that we hear, you know, kicked around a little bit, and I don't think, again, and none of these things are, you know, are the one thing that is the problem, but they all contribute to it. And one of the things that's been kicked around a lot is violent video games. And I've got a quote here from an article. This is in the Daily Wire, was written by Matt Walsh, and he did an article on the subject of violent video games, and I just pulled out one paragraph from that kind of highlights what my feelings are about this, you know, this idea that violent video games are leading to violence. And so let me read this from this article. We all know it's pretend. We all know that digital images are digital. We know you are not a serial killer. But the fact remains that you still enjoy pretending to kill people. Your favorite recreational activity is to pretend that you are killing people. You probably will never kill a single person in real life, but it's still not good. It's still unhealthy. It's still pretty disturbing that you find so much joy in simulated death and destruction. I say the same thing about people who love bleak, graphic, torture, pornography. A healthy, well-adjusted, morally aware person would find no enjoyment whatsoever in those films, not because he thinks they're real, but because he has no interest in entertaining a fantasy world filled with blood and death. And that's kind of how I see this. I don't think violent video games cause someone to commit heinous acts of violence or crime. But someone, let's take the Parkland shooter, and we're going to kind of get to him a little more in some of the other points that I want to make. But, you know, he had an obsession for guns, and he, you know, posted pictures of them on his social media sites. And I don't know if he played violent video games, but you take someone with such a troubled background, and we're going to get in a little more to what I mean by his troubled background, and you add in the influence of online pornography or violent video games, he was already struggling mentally. And you add those things to it, and that could be enough to flip that switch that causes somebody to carry out one of these violent acts. So I think, again, you can't blame violent video games, but you can't dismiss their influence on the society. And I think that that the author of that article, Matt Walsh, you know, made some really good points. I would encourage you to look that one up. It's on a site called The Daily Wire, and it's, again, written by Matt Walsh, and there's a lot of good points in there. Now, these are all his opinions, and a lot of the facts on violent video games aren't really conclusive, because there's just as many studies saying that they don't contribute to violence as there are that say that they very well may be contributing to the violence. So it's really not conclusive. And I share his opinions on this, that it's a big factor. Now, getting back to the Parkland shooter, my next point definitely applies to him. And I think this is another huge problem in this country that is hurting our society, and it's fatherless homes. And for that matter, in some cases, motherless homes. You don't have to be a Christian to think that a home with a mother and a father is the best way to raise children. And that's not demeaning anyone that is in other situations, you know, single parent homes, homes with two dads or two moms. I'm not diminishing any of those situations, but what I am saying, the statistics show that that's the best scenario for raising children, a home with a loving mother and father. And I was looking at some of the numbers, and I know the progressives want to ignore the differences between the sexes, but it's not just science, but society has pointed out those differences for thousands of years. And it hasn't changed because we've created some new social constructs. There are vast differences between men and women, and they bring different qualities to the table. And so, again, the numbers is all I'm talking about here. I have a friend, lives in another state. She is a lesbian woman. She has a female partner. I have no intention of ever discriminating against her in any way. If they ever decide to adopt a child or have a child in whatever way they see fit, I'll have nothing to say about that. That's between them and you know, what they choose to do. And I'm sure they'll be great parents if they decide to have a child. The one girl I know is a wonderful person. She would be a wonderful mother. I don't know her partner, but if she chose her, I'm going to assume she would probably be a good parent as well. So that's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying that the statistics say that that's the best situation, a mother and a father in a loving home raising their children. And so going back to the Parkland shooter, we know that things like suicide, severe mental and emotional problems, and violent outbursts are markedly higher in people that grew up in fatherless homes, or in some cases, motherless homes. It's just statistics, and that's all I'm saying here. It's another thing we need to look at. You know, you know, and this is kind of a side subject, but the idea of divorce being just like no big deal anymore. It's just, it didn't work out. We get divorced. That contributes to this, that I know some young parents that are barely out of high school and already have a divorce. And I'm not blaming this on their age. I married very young. My wife was even younger, and we've been married 25 years. It's not easy. You fight at times, you disagree at times, but when you're committed to someone and you truly love someone, you work together. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying every situation is going to end up, you know, working out. I get that. But we've become a society where it's just, you know, it's just not even given a second thought. If it doesn't work out, we'll just get divorced. And I just don't think that that's a healthy way to have a society. Sure, there's a religious aspect to that, but I don't hold that belief because of a religious belief. I hold that belief because it just makes sense. We see it, you know, and it's not 100%. There's been, you know, crazy, you know, killers come from seemingly good families. I'm not saying anything is 100%. Of course not. But the statistics show us that cohesive families raise healthier kids in general, in the aggregate, not specifically. Obviously, there's always going to be cases where that may not be the, you know, may not be the truth. So, you know, and we already talked about this a little bit. I'll hit on this again one more time. Internet pornography it's just too available. It's too available to kids, but it's too available to adults. And what the reason that it's such a problem, and again, I'm not making this on religious morality reasons, although I could definitely make that argument, and I would make that argument. But in this discussion, the reason I bring it up is because it gives young people, or really most anyone that watches a lot of this online content, it gives them a distorted view of reality. And that can carry over into your relationships, because if you're expecting that things are a certain way because of what you've seen in a movie or on TV or on the internet, you're going to find that most of that stuff, it's called fictional content because it's fictional. It's not real. And it's a really unhealthy thing to have, mostly boys, but it can be girls too. It puts certain expectations on them that are not realistic. They're not real. And it's something that we need to pay attention to, I think. It's become very pervasive, and it's something that we, as a society, we need to reject. Now, when it comes to the First Amendment, I don't know that you have to ban these kinds of things. I'm not sure I'm against banning them, but I don't know exactly where I stand on that, you know, at least from a constitutional perspective. But I would say that we've done a pretty good job of stigmatizing cigarettes, for instance. Now, there's still kids that smoke. There's still a lot of adults that smoke. But the attitude that smoking kills has become more and more accepted over the years. And I think that, you know, we can make similar strides in things like internet pornography and violence on the internet. We can work in the same direction that they did in the awareness of what, how bad smoking can be for your health, and that it's not cool and those kinds of things. We've made some progress in that, and I think we could do the same in other places, including internet pornography. The Marine Commandant also mentioned that the health and fitness of the youth is a real problem, and we don't prioritize fitness and health and healthy diets the way that we should. We hear a lot about it in the media. The media talks about it. I'll give them credit in that respect. They talk a lot about obesity and healthy diets and different exercise programs, but where it really counts, we're not getting through to the kids, and that's at home and even in our schools. And before I get a lot of hate mail, I'm not blaming schools for this problem. What's happening is when you're not getting the guidance at home, we're often expecting the schools to fill in the gaps. And that's not really what the schools are there for. They do try to fill in the gaps, even though I don't think it's their job to do so. But it's really not what they're there for. And so while I mention the schools as a small part of this, it starts at home. You can promote every kind of healthy activity you want on every television show, every internet program, every podcast. You can promote it everywhere you can. But until we as parents implore to our kids and show by example to our kids the types of healthy behaviors that they should model, it's not going to make any difference. All of the promotion in the world is not going to make a whole lot of difference if we're not holding our families to those standards. So we can, you know, we can get back to mental health issues. And I kind of reject that one. Not completely, but to a large extent, I reject the mental health discussion. And the reason is that encompasses such a wide range of things and people. And I'm not comfortable with taking Second Amendment rights away from people because of some, you know, 20 years ago, maybe you were, for a 6 month period, you were on an antidepressant. Should that be enough for you to never, ever be able to own a weapon? I don't think so. I mean, obviously it depends who you are now, of course, but it can be such a wide ranging things that I really get uncomfortable when they start talking about mental health. Not that we shouldn't obviously look at mental health issues as a factor in things like gun sales and, you know, the fact that we don't have good mental health programs. We, you know, I've heard some people, you know, blaming President Reagan for putting all the mentally ill out on the streets. Well, that's not exactly what happened. And actually blaming Reagan doesn't do you a whole lot of good, because most of those people that you're talking about, the largest majority of them are not with us anymore. So it's really a non-issue. But we don't have good mental health facilities for the most part. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, we had a crisis of mental health facilities that were poorly run and that were even, you know, probably would be considered abusive. But you don't fix the problem by just getting rid of the whole system. You fix the problem by fixing the problem. And unfortunately, what we did was we basically just got rid of the whole system, and we've done a lousy job of rebuilding that system. And that's something that we can look at. But again, I get a little uncomfortable when it gets too much of a focus on the mental health, because I'm afraid that it's going to be used as a weapon, so to speak. Pun not intended, to take people's guns away or take their other rights away based on, you know, things that are, you know, sketchy at best. So that's a kind of a dangerous road to go down. One that I've talked about here before, I've talked about it on the morning show as well, is bullying. Now, I know here locally, and I know throughout the country, we've had big pushes on bullying. And again, I talked about this before, so I don't want to get too deep into it again. But this young man that carried out these killings at Parkland was bullied. Now, I'm not making excuses for him that, well, if he was bullied, then we should excuse him from his violent behavior. Of course, that's not what I'm saying. But we've got these student activists that are pushing gun control, and they've put themselves out into the public sphere. So you don't get to play victim anymore. You're now social activist. And I would ask every one of these ones, not only the spokespeople that are out there, but the fellow students that are backing them up and that support their point of view, I would ask them, how many of you treated this young man poorly, or any other outcast, so to speak, that you've treated them poorly? Now, again, I'm not excusing what they did. I'm not saying anybody deserved being shot. That is not what I'm saying here. But what I am saying is the way we can make a difference is not to allow the bullying victims to be victims. We need to teach them to cope. We need to find out what their issues are and help them with those issues. But more importantly, we can't go soft on the bullies. You can't say, well, we have to understand what they're going through and their feelings. We can understand what they're going through, and we can take their feelings into account while we're still punishing them and while we're still showing them how horrible this behavior is and showing them that this young man was bullied and it possibly was a factor into leading him to shooting up a school. That's what we need to be telling these kids. Quit babying these kids. Raise them to be adults, not raising them to be adult babies, which is what we're doing right now. So there's just so many factors involved in this, and I'm already run out of time to cover any more of it today, and I don't really need to, but I really think as a society we need to look at all of these factors. These are all important. I go back to what the general said, the Marine commandant. It's a sad state of affairs that less than 30% of our kids are qualified to get into our armed forces, our services. That's just, to me, that's a staggering statistic. And even if it's not completely accurate, I don't know what their study was in order to come to that conclusion. But that doesn't, the numbers don't matter. That's a sad state of affairs. And we as a society are responsible for that. And we all have changes we can make to make this a better society. And that's not even getting into the balkanization in the country and the fact that women's rights groups have people that support Sharia law as their spokespeople. There's so many things we could get into, and I'm not going to get into any of them today, but we just as parents and as people need to treat each other a little bit better. But all of these issues need to be addressed, not just one or two of them. So I hope that I gave you some good information. You don't have to agree with everything I'm saying, but I hope some of this has opened your eyes a little bit to all of the issues that really need to be looked at. We can't just blame guns. We can't blame the NRA. We have to look at every aspect of this. And it's not just these shootings. I mean, there's other things going on in the society that are, I don't know. I mean, they're disgusting. They're not moral. They're just not things we should have in our society. It's not just school shootings. And we can do a lot to change the direction, but we have to cover these issues. And it starts at home. It starts in my home. It starts in your home. It starts in everybody's home first. That's where it begins. The kids aren't there to raise, the schools aren't there to raise your kids. That's your job. Even when they're in school, you need to be paying attention to what they're doing, what they're being taught, how they're being treated by the school and by the other students, and all of those things. You got to stay plugged in, and that can go a long way into helping this society. So I am going to take another break here, and we'll be back with some final thoughts and a little bit of the upcoming schedule for the week. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The National Rifle Association is expressing disappointment after Florida Governor Rick Scott signed a gun control bill that was written after a mass shooting at a high school that killed 17 people. It's also filed a lawsuit to block that bill. Chris W. Cox, executive director of the NRA's Institute for Legislative Action, says the bill punishes law-abiding gun owners for the criminal acts of a deranged individual. The White House says President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping have discussed North Korea. The leaders spoke today, the day after Mr. Trump agreed to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un at a date and time still to be determined. The White House said Trump and Xi welcomed the prospect of dialogue between the U.S. and North Korea. Good day on Wall Street as the Dow was up by 441 points to 25,336. The Nasdaq rose 133. More details at srnnews.com.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3, The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. President Trump has signed proclamations imposing tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. The president says a 25% tariff will be added to steel and a 10% tariff will apply to aluminum. The president says Canada and Mexico could be exempted based on the outcome of talks to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement. A soaring U.S. stock market and healthy home price gains lifted Americans' net worth to $98.7 trillion in the final 3 months of last year. The Federal Reserve says the value of U.S. stock portfolios jumped $1.3 trillion in the October-December quarter compared with the previous 3 months. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 93 points. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And we've only got a couple minutes left in the show today. So let's get to some of the upcoming events. And one event I wanted to tell you about, and I cannot find it, so we'll have to save that one for next week. Of course, the community center dinner will be a week from today. And this month's dinner is sponsored by the Rogue River Kiwanis Club, and it'll be corned beef and cabbage. And that will be at 5 o'clock. And, of course, the Community Center Dinner is held almost every third Friday of the month. And that is at the Community Center, $7 for adults, $3.50 for kids ages 10 and under. So that's that. And looking at Chieftain Sports, the seasons get started next week. And we will be covering some of those games right here on 94.3 The Bridge. Softball will kick off the action on Monday the 12th. They will be hosting Brookings Harbor for a 4:30 game. That game was originally scheduled to be a doubleheader, but it's been changed to a single game at 4:30 on Monday. And they'll be in action again. Or excuse me, let's move over to baseball. Baseball on Tuesday, they will travel to Sutherland. Unfortunately, that one will not be on our schedule for 94.3 The Bridge. If Sutherland was about a half an hour closer, maybe I would have been able to make the attempt to get over there in time, but it's just not going to work out. But we have 10 games apiece, or actually 10 dates apiece, for baseball and softball that we'll be covering, and some of those will be doubleheaders. Some we will be only covering one game of a doubleheader, but there'll be a good mix of games throughout the season, and hopefully maybe next week when I post next week's show, maybe I'll include a link to the schedule, the broadcast schedule for us here at 94.3 The Bridge. So looking further into the week, Thursday has the softball team hosting Riddle, and the baseball team also will be hosting Riddle on Thursday, and I believe we will be covering baseball on that day, and then the next games will be next Saturday, so we'll cover those on next week's show. But I'm looking forward to, I love baseball and softball season. It's a fun time for me. The games are fun to call, but I grew up at the softball diamonds watching men's fast pitch softball. Then I was a A's season ticket holder for several years when I lived in the Bay Area. And so baseball and softball is just in my blood. I live for it. I love all the sports I cover, but there's nothing like summertime baseball. So that's all we got for you today. And I'll remind you once again, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.